Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Kleine.
Well, of course, this is Mother's Day, not a celebration that we find in the Word of God, but if there ever was a celebration that should be in the Word of God, it would have to be Mother's Day, because of all that our mothers have done for us. And I find it interesting as I look back even over my childhood, and I saw my mother as an adversary, that whatever fun thing I wanted to do, for some reason she would decide that I shouldn't do it. And I just, you know, at the time it just seemed like she was being so unreasonable. I remember one time we were, I think it was probably in the fourth or the fifth grade, and they were teaching about how gasoline vapor was very dangerous. Gasoline by itself actually wouldn't do anything, but it was the vapor of the gasoline that could be so dangerous. And so I discovered how to take a aluminum foil and to make it into a little ball and stick a spark plug in the top of it and wrap it up with baling twine really tight, and then I could put a spark to that spark plug and the thing would blow up. And at the time, they were taking the creek that was behind the elementary school that was two blocks down the street, and they were filling that creek in. They were putting in the big drainage tile, and so we would have no place to go and catch frogs or anything like that. But in the process of them having to dig out the extra dirt to put the tile in, it turned out that the whole area looked like a battlefield. And it didn't take me very long to come up with a neat way of making money. You'll find that pastor throughout his life has been the little entrepreneur. And so I decided I was going to train the neighborhood kids in military tactics. And I planted a couple dozen of these little bombs in the ground, and they could pay me a quarter and run through my battlefield, and I'd try to blow them up. And guys, these little bombs had put a 6-foot crater in the ground. Okay, these were some pretty serious little bombs. We didn't realize, being kids, you know, you're young and stupid. And fortunately for the lives of these children with the quarters that they had and I wanted, we had two telephones in our house, the upstairs phone and the downstairs phone. Remember those wall phones, the dial phones that would hang on the wall? And so I was down in the basement going over the final details with my buddy. You know, I was working on the control panel with a little rotary switch that we could step through and push a button and blow up bombs, you know, wherever. And my mother thought that I was being just a little bit too secretive, and she decided to pick up the upstairs extension and listen in on the conversation. And needless to say that she didn't even let me finish my conversation. She came running down the stairs, ordered me to hang up the phone, and asked me what in God's green earth I thought I was trying to do. And so by her intervention, she probably single-handedly saved the lives of several of the the neighborhood kids. Another time I got a hold of a book, and it was a book that the Marine Corps used in packing parachutes. And my parents, while they were in the Marine Corps, had taken this course. And so I thought, well, this is something that everybody needs to know how to do, how to parachute. And so I made my own parachute. Of course, the canopy of this parachute was only about that big. And we went to the city dump, and I found a 2x12 that was long enough that I could lean it up against the roof of the garage. And so I would strap this parachute on the child that had a quarter. Everything was a quarter with me. You got a quarter, there was something I had for you to do. And they'd give me their quarter, and then they would walk up that plank and then jump off the roof of the garage. Of course, my only instruction was yell Geronimo and then pull the string. And they would pull the string, and this little handkerchief would come out. And luckily there were no broken bones on that. And I did make about $1.25 before my mother came running out of the house and put the kibosh to that. So, probably when my poor mother passed away of cancer, it was probably a self-preservation reaction, of her own physical body. She just couldn't take any more of this. But she spent her years saving the rest of the world from her oldest son. And it's the mother's work is never done, is it? When I get my hair cut, there is a plaque up at the barber shop, and it says, "A cowboy works from dusk till dawn, but a cowgirl's work is never done." And so that's kind of how it is with the mothers, and so we have the same thing as Jesus is dealing with his disciples in the closing verses of John chapter 21, as we close out the gospel according to John. We see Jesus doing this kind of work, settling arguments, trying to get everybody all lined out, because he's just not going to be here much longer. As a matter of fact, in your bulletin you see this is the 7th Sunday of Easter. This is the last Sunday of the Easter season. Next Sunday is, does anybody know? Next Sunday is Ascension Sunday. And Pentecost, excuse me. And so this is the time when Jesus is trying to get everything finalized for his disciples, because he's not going to be around too much longer. And so we see in John chapter 21, we've just gone through the situation where Jesus is reinstating Peter. How many times did Peter fail Jesus? Three times. He denied Jesus three times. Now these, you got to understand though, Peter, when he denied Jesus, it was because there was these big, ugly soldiers with spears and swords that, were really intimidating him, right?
No.
No. As a matter of fact, the last one was a little girl. And I've seen you. You're one of those guys with Jesus. And Jesus stands up and he swears an oath. "I don't know the man." And Peter, excuse me. Peter stands up and swears the oath. "I do not know the man." And so I can understand Peter and his disillusionment, his discouragement with himself. I think as I go through my life, the hardest thing that I have to do is to forgive myself for the failures that I've done. Not for other failures, for failures that others have done, but for my own failures. And so Peter is going through the same thing. And so Jesus lovingly, gently deals with Peter. And then I like this. In verse 20, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. Okay, who's that? Who can tell me who that would be? That's John, right? John never refers to himself as John. He's the disciple that Jesus loves. That's how he always refers to himself. Peter, turning around, saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had leaned on his bosom at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, "Well, Lord, what about this man?" All right, because Jesus had just got through telling Peter that when Peter is old, he told Peter how he was going to die. Peter, when you're old, there's going to be people leading you where you don't want to go. And you're going to spread out your arms and you're going to die. And we know that when Peter ultimately did die, that he was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be crucified in the same way that his Lord Jesus was crucified. And so the Romans, ever obliging, you know, "Oh, you want even more pain and discomfort? Fine, we'll be more than happy to help you out. We'll crucify you upside down." And so this is what Jesus had prophesied to Peter. But Peter wasn't satisfied with that. Peter wants to know about him. What about John? What about this guy, Jesus? What about John? Now, how many of you have ever been in a car on a road trip? Remember being a child in the back seat of a car in the road trip and more concerned about what your little brother or sister is doing rather than what's going on with your own life? He's on my side of the seat. All right? How many of you did that? Okay. How many of you heard that as parents? "Yeah, he touched me. He's on my side. He's breathing on me. That's my toy." That's what. And believe it or not, it didn't start with our children. Here it is way back 2,000 years ago. And Peter's all concerned about John. What's going to happen to John? And Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." So Jesus is simply telling Peter, "Peter, it doesn't matter. I mean, I may so ordain it that John lives forever. I may ordain it that John lives 100 years or 1,000 years or 2,000 years till I come back again." So that would have been 2,000 years at this point of time, wouldn't it? But he says, "What is that to you?" And there's a good lesson in that for each of us. Amen? Because so many of us look around, well, "Lord, look at how you're blessing this person over here. And Lord, what about this person over here? And why do they get this? And why that?" And Jesus says to each one of us today, "What is it to you? What difference does it make to you? You follow me. You follow me." And Terry and I have often said to each other, if when we were first married and we were first dedicating our lives to the service of the Lord, if we would have seen half of what God was going to put us through, we probably never would have even embarked on the journey. Amen? We're going to go through that. We're going to see this. We're going to, I mean, not to bring up bad memories, but I imagine almost every mother here has had a miscarriage, has lost a child in some way. Terry and I have also. And would we ever even have thought about having children? Would we have known the sorrow and the grief that we would have to endure in losing that loved one? All right, that one that we had waited so long. And Jesus says the same thing to us. Keep our eyes on Him. Just keep following Him. Things are going to be different for other people. Other people have other callings on their life. Jesus has other purposes in their life. Just follow Jesus. You follow me. Probably the best encouragement that I can give anybody. Just keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. And then, therefore, you know, leave it to men. I tell you what, you go ahead and take something so special, once mankind gets a hold of it, they're going to mess it up. Verse 23, therefore this saying went out among the brethren that that disciple, that John, would not die. All right. Oh, did you hear what Jesus said to Peter? Yeah, John isn't going to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Okay, and so, you know, it's kind of like that game where you sit a bunch of people in a great big circle and you whisper something in one person's ear and you know, let it get around the circle and find out, you know, what the message is once it gets all the way around the circle. And this is what has happened in the early church. Everybody felt that John would never die. As a matter of fact, he was the last apostle to die, the last of the original 12 to die. And he had been banished to the Isle of Patmos, and there he was given that great vision called the Revelation, and which tells us what is going to be happening in the end times. And so he was the longest living of all of the followers of Jesus Christ, but he did die. Okay, but that wasn't in the first century church. Everybody thought that old John was going to live forever. Verse 34, this is the disciple who is testifying these things and who wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So now John is identifying himself. I'm the one that wrote all of these things. I'm the one that they said that Jesus said he's going to live forever. Verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that not even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And so that's how John closes down this gospel, his account, eyewitness account of the life of Jesus Christ, that Peter has been given a prophecy about how he would die, and that when Peter inquired of John, that Jesus gave probably the best advice that any Christian could receive. It doesn't matter what happens to anybody else. It's up to us to follow Jesus. But what about the people? Moms, how many of you heard growing up when your children would come, Mom, can I do this? No. Well, Johnny's daddy lets him do this. Okay. And what is the pat? It's a patented answer, as a matter of fact. Every parent has to know. Well, if Johnny ran off the cliff, would you go with him? If all the kids jumped in the river, would you jump in the river with them? I think that's in a little pamphlet that they hand out to parents. I wish they would hand a pamphlet out to parents or whatever. But that is, Jesus is dealing with the same thing with 30-something and 40-something year old followers of his. Don't worry what is going on with the next guy. You follow me. I told you how when I was with the Assemblies of Gods and we would have the quarterly pastoral conferences of everybody in the South Texas district. And everybody would get together and they'd wear their finest suits. You know, you'd see Armani, whatever, you know, fancy Italian name was there. The guys had come up wearing their fancy suits. And everybody had the same question. Well, how many people do you have in your church? And I would give them the same answer. Somewhere under 1,000. Somewhere just under 1,000. It didn't matter if I had 40 people coming to the church. How many got coming to your church, Brother Dale? Somewhere under 1,000. It's so hard to keep track. Why? Because it's not their responsibility to know what I'm doing. It's none of my business to know what they're doing. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Amen? And so the world may be coming apart at the seams. It may not. Everything may be going well, it may not. But the responsibility for each of us is the same. I like this. Three words that Jesus said. You follow me. Amen? And Father, we thank
you. Morning comes another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.